This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, U.S. intelligence investigating whether the coronavirus outbreak originated in Wuhan lab as part of China's efforts to actually compete with the U.S. We'll break this down for you today and more on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
You talked about the World Health Organization. They had access. The Chinese Communist Party didn't give Americans access when we needed it in that most timely point at the very beginning. The president talked about that today.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And then we know they have this lab. We know about the wet markets. We know that the virus itself did originate in Wuhan. So all those things come together. There's still a lot we don't know, and this is what the president was talking about. We need to know answers to these things. We still have this virus out there.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. First story we wanted to get to today is this breaking news from the intelligence community, specifically about the virus, the coronavirus, and its origins. Now, we know it was created in a Wuhan lab, but now there's a line of intelligence thinking and a theory that is coming together very rapidly within the U.S. intelligence community that this virus was actually created for China to be able to show the U.S. that they could create a virus, release it into the public, and then they would have superior medical capability to actually handle the outbreak of the virus in their own country. Now, what would that mean? That would mean they're saying it wasn't a biological weapon, but to me, it sounds a lot like biological terrorism if this is true. Because the way that they explained this to Fox News and Brett Baer reported on it was that one of the individuals who worked in the lab was directly infected with the virus and then went right to that wet market. And the virus started spreading throughout China. So that was their intent there to actually spread it amongst the Chinese people so that they could show, see how much better we are at handling something like this than the United States. And that's why we haven't gotten clear information out of China about, you know, real tolls it's taken, about the amount of people that have actually died from it, amount of people who have actually contracted, and whether or not it's really under control.
You know, there's 31,000 people so far as we're live on the air that have died from this, the fatalities. If China did what is now being alluded to, this will be, as many sources are saying, the costliest governmental cover-up of all time. Now, China's a huge trading partner with the United States, so there's a tremendous amount of geopolitical, geoeconomic situations here. And we have to be cognizant of that as we go through this. But if, in fact, this was the cover-up that it appears to be, I think the concern for all of us, for the entire country, but actually, frankly, from the world, is that China unleashed this, covered it up. You know, they're only reporting a total fatalities of 3,000 people, which can't possibly be correct. And then the question, of course, is, as I said, is China is a huge trading partner with the United States. So we've got to handle this thing in a certain way. But I think, look, we want to get to the bottom of this. I want to go to Than really quickly here. Than, what is your sense, with Congress out, but there's already been talk about this, on how to approach China on this? What is the congressional reaction so far to this breaking news?
Well, I look back weeks ago, Jay, to those senators who actually sit on the Intel Committee and the Armed Services Committee, namely Senator Cotton, from the very beginning was raising the alarm on this. And I couple that, Jay, with some of the sound from Secretary Pompeo that you said, that all signs really are pointing to this virus coming out of the lab. Congressionally, Jay, here's what I think needs to happen. They need to stand behind a strong federal response from the commander-in-chief to China, because if this story is correct, Jay, once we get on the other side of this virus, responding to China is going to become priority number one.
All right, folks, when we come back, we will take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As always, follow us on aclj.org, all the cases that are ongoing right now. And we encourage you during this matching challenge month, double the impact of your donation. Make that donation online at aclj.org. It's the best way to donate, aclj.org. Keeps this broadcast on the air. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Jordan Sekulow joining us remotely today, as well as Jay Sekulow. Jordan, as we went to a break, we were talking about this new report that is emanating from Fox News. U.S. intelligence investigators are increasingly confident that the coronavirus did indeed originate inside that laboratory in the Wuhan region. Some speculation on what the motive was. Maybe the motive was that the Chinese were interested in demonstrating that they could control a virus better than the United States. Others are suggesting maybe another motive. But Jordan, I think all signs, when you think about Senator Cotton's comments early on, and then you fast forward to both comments from President Trump and Secretary Pompeo, it sure looks like to me this is the most likely source of this virus, and now it's starting to come out.
Yeah, I mean, take a listen. This is our Secretary of State, Secretary Pompeo, as Than just mentioned, talking about this the Wuhan theory that this was created in a lab. It was created as an effort for China to somehow try to one-up the U.S. and whether or not they exposed their population intentionally, which then exposed the world to the virus intentionally, is a big question that has to be answered. But also, if they were trying to show the U.S. how great they were, let me tell you right away, if they did not intentionally release the virus to the general public in China and then to the world, they were not very good at creating the virus in the lab. They were not good at handling it inside the lab. And we are still very much superior, I believe, to China. But take a listen to Secretary of State Pompeo.
We know that this virus originated in Wuhan, China. We know that there is the Wuhan Institute of Virology just a handful of miles away from where the wet market was. There's still lots to learn. You should know that the United States government is working diligently to figure this out. But what we really need, Martha, we really need the Chinese government to open up. They say they want to cooperate. One of the best ways they could find to cooperate would be to let the world in, to let the world's scientists know exactly how this came to be, exactly how this virus began to spread.
You know, this is an interesting part of this. We are debating in the United States right now the culpability of our largest trading partner and a government that owns a significant portion of American debt. I want that to sink in for a moment. We're debating publicly whether the Chinese, either intentionally or through the costliest government cover-up in U.S. world history, did this on purpose or were negligent, as Jordan just said. yet they also control and own a large portion of our debt. At the same time, they are a large trading partner with the United States. So you got to understand the complexities of the geopolitical situation. We've got a call coming in on line six, Jordan. Let's go ahead and take this call because I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about.
Hey, Carl. Carl's calling in from Arizona on line six. Carl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay and Jordan. A good day here in Arizona. If it is proven that the Chinese government used this COVID-19 as a bioweapon, do you think it would be prudent to cut ties with China since this is an attack against the West? And realizing also that in 1996, the Prime Minister of Defense for China made statements of preemptive bioweapon strikes against the United States and the West.
Well, listen, well, let me give you. I think we can all discuss this because it's
Okay, so let me jump in here first. Cutting all ties with China, not a smart move. First of all, Clint, we're not the world economic impact of that would be so significant that it would be impossible to even measure. But when you talk about sanctions, I think, look, as this information comes out, in my view, sanctions would be appropriate.
No, I think that that's absolutely right. I think that if China was proven to be messing around with a very dangerous new strain of virus, intentionally creating it, this was not one that was accidentally created in, you know, a chicken coop that spread. It was not like that kind of a virus that got out of control, but something that they intentionally created in a lab, and then it got out of the lab. And one, I think it's worthy of sanctions that they didn't inform the world the moment they knew that it got out of the lab. That's worthy of sanctions. But there, it's worthy of serious sanctions because it's almost like a, if they don't want to call it a bioweapon attack, it's certainly kind of like bioterrorism. And if they intentionally went into their own public to then have their own public infected so that they could show the world how quickly they could deal with the infection without thinking about the fact that they would be spreading it around the world, to me, that calls for serious action, both retaliatory and economically against China, but also, to me, Dad, this brings it back home, and maybe Than wants to address it too, the World Health Organization sitting on their hands throughout this entire process with China.
Let me say this. I want to go to Than on this because Tom Cotton, the senator, has been very out front on this. Has he said anything since this news broke?
He has. He has indicated that it has been his belief from the beginning, Jay, that this virus originated out of the lab. And quite honestly, I think it's very important to tie a couple of those conversation lines that Jordan brought up together. I mean, this is also one of the reasons that President Trump has taken a tougher economic line on China from the beginning, because they haven't been transparent in a number of ways. Those two issues tie together, their transparency and then the fact that they're our leading economic trading partner. Jay, the other thing is Secretary Pompeo drew a very important distinction in this Fox News article when he said that, look, other countries have programs like these, but the way that we know that they're secure and the way that we know that they are capable of keeping the viruses from getting out is they let outsiders, including the United States, into those facilities to make sure that the safeguards are followed. That did not happen in this case. So, Jay, when you talk about sanctions for not, they didn't allow outside inspectors in to make sure that the viruses were being handled properly. I would think sanctions would be a starting point. But the second piece of that is something that President Trump has already started. You want to talk about the trade deal with China? I think the economic force and leverage of the United States is going to have to be leveraged on top of sanctions. And if they want to keep trading with the United States, they cannot continue to operate in this way.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call, Jordan.
Yeah, we got phones, too, about the stimulus. Remember, this is another big developing story that the initial funds for the payment protection plan, for the employee payment protection plan, for those businesses that wanted to keep their employees paid while they were having to either work from home or facing or not the ability to not able to work. Those loans that could turn into grants, that first set of $350 billion has already been allocated. There's no more money left in it. So there's now a debate in the Senate about putting more money. They were supposed to do it last week. That didn't happen. And as Stan already mentioned, we'll see what happens this week in Washington. It's already Thursday, and we have not seen that action yet. Let's go to Vanessa in Pennsylvania on line two. Vanessa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great. Thanks,
my question is, thanks for taking my call. My question is, with all the stimulus money and payroll protection, how does it benefit a small business owner who, and will there be any new funds coming out for small business owners who rely on subcontractors only?
So it's a little bit tougher there. The subcontractors may not – what was the final conclusion, Than, on the subcontract? If you have independent contractors – that was not part of the stimulus that you could calculate, or did they decide they would include it?
Well, not directly, Jay, because the calculation is based on payroll, but the subcontractors themselves, Jay, can apply on their own. So, you know, you don't want to double dip because you want the money to spread as far as it possibly can. So the subcontractor is going to have to apply on their own, and then the small business apply on their own. But, Jay, look, I think we need to say it very clearly right at the outset of this conversation. The money for this fund, this program might be exhausted at this point, as the Treasury Department announced this morning, but there is an opportunity at 3 p.m. this afternoon for Democrats in Washington, D.C., to decide that they don't want that money to be out. Secretary Mnuchin, Leader McConnell, Leader McCarthy are all willing to support a unanimous consent to put another $250 billion into that program to continue its viability. Jay, at this point, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are standing in the way. And why are they standing in the way? It's because they have another wish list of things that they want to put into that funding bill. I can't say it any clearer. Those two and the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C., Jay, they are the reason that today that additional $250 billion won't be inserted. They were also the reason it was blocked last week.
Senator Cotton just said, by the way, that if in fact Wuhan, China did the negligence or did this on purpose, that the death of every single person that has been subjected to the fatalities from this disease, from this virus, is on the hands of China. Jordan?
Folks, when we come back, we will continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Think about that statement. Also think about the statement that Nancy Pelosi was celebrating when Democrats shot down an extra $250 billion for that employee payment protection plan last week. Will they get to it this week? Remember, Matching Challenge Month, ACLJ.org. Donate online. Part of that donation, it goes to keeping this broadcast on the air.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Let me encourage you folks, if you are a fan of this broadcast and the Jay Sekulow Live and the American Center for Law and Justice, this is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge month where you double the impact of your donation. And we know, again, this is for those of you who are in a financially stable position right now and you can make a donation. But you know, $20 in a matching challenge month, your $20 donation at aclj.org, that becomes $40. Your $50 donation, that becomes $100. But you're only charged $20 or $50. And you can make it online at aclj.org, and that helps us right away. And it goes to all of the legal work we're doing, which the courts are open. As my dad's talked about, the first Supreme Court oral arguments by phone. We're filing in cases. We're assisting churches. I'll get to a number in just a moment that is pretty, I think, impressive, just the amount of churches we have assisted in with this, all the COVID-19 restrictions and those who are doing the drive-in and drive-up services and things like that. And we've gone on to explain as well to churches that they are eligible, once there are more funds in this program, for that employee protection payment plan, so that we have actually had in contact with, we've been assisting our attorneys, 117 different churches in just the last about 10 days. 117 churches the ACLJ has assisted directly on either how they can handle the new restrictions in their state and community with COVID-19, and can they have those gatherings, like can they do those drive-in services, and we've assisted there. But we've also been assisting, part of that 117 assist is assisting those churches with the PPP, the protection plan, the payment protection plan for their employees and the loans, and that they can walking them through that now. Than we know that more money needs to get into that into that system, but I just want to encourage people. We're working really hard at the ACLJ right now on the issues that are most important to the American people, like the COVID-19 issues, like the stimulus issues. It looks like we're going to be looking at hopefully another stimulus for at least this employee protection plan, so that would be available to the churches too. So we'd get more calls about that. But also the restrictions that are staying in place. Will others be starting to be lifted in May, and how will that work? We are assisting a lot of people around the country, religious organizations, churches, and so far the count is 117, and that's growing every single day. So support our work at aclj.org and double the impact your donation. Than, are we going to get more money into that plan, so that more churches out there and organizations and companies that need it to keep their employees paid while they are at these stay-at-home policies are being extended at least through the end of April for most states, and then for other states even into mid-May so far?
Yeah, let me say a couple of things on that, Jordan. First of all, I would really encourage churches out there, whether they have already accessed this program or are considering accessing it once the funds are replenished, I would really encourage them to go to aclj.org and look at the resources that we've compiled for those 117 churches that you mentioned, Jordan, because it's going to be very important once the opportunity reopens for a church to know how they want to proceed, know what is going to be required of them, and then have the existing relationship with the financial institution to proceed. To your question, Jordan, about whether or not the additional $250 billion is going to be added to this program, I do think it's going to happen, Jordan, but there is now a delay. I mean, Treasury announced this morning that the funds have expired. And again, remember, Leader McConnell tried to pass by unanimous consent last week a measure that would just automatically plus up that account to the tune of $250 billion, and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi stood in the way. So we are in a situation situation at this very moment as we speak that program is out of funds, cannot take additional applications or bring new lenders on board. Jordan, that remedy could come as soon as 3 o'clock this afternoon, at least the start of the process. When the Senate comes into session, they will again ask for unanimous consent. But unless Senate Democrats start to back down, they will again block that. So I would put it to you this way. Funds are going to come into this program at some point, I really do believe, but I cannot tell you exactly when, because at this moment in Washington, D.C., Democrats are blocking that program from being plussed up, and they're doing it because they want hundreds of millions of dollars in other accounts that, Jordan, get this, those accounts are not out of money right now. But the small business one and the one that is servicing churches, that account is out of money. That's the one they're blocking.
All right, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got more coming in, too, about this question about China and this breaking news, really, in the last just 24 hours about China's potential role in intentionally releasing this virus to try and prove to the world that they were just as good or better at handling a virus like this without thinking, or I guess with thinking, that, hey, even if they could handle it, which I don't believe any of their numbers whatsoever. They have no care for human life. They just don't see. It's a cultural difference, if you'd put it, the degree of the way of human life. I mean, think about going into the lab, and they actually get one of those the people at the lab, make them infected with this, and then send them out into a market in the city intentionally. And that is what the intelligence, U.S. intelligence, is looking at right now. And they're saying that's not the creation of a bioweapon. Well, to me, it's at least bioterrorism. And if this is proven to be true, and with the fact, to me, Dad, before I go to the caller, the fact that China is not giving any real information to the U.S. and that the World Health Organization seems like they are in bed with China, to me, seems it's more and more likely that this is devious action by China.
Well, look, I mean, here's the fact. The fact is, we all know where this is going to go. I mean, everybody kind of dancing around it. But where this is going to go is either China did it intentionally or it was gross negligence. In either case, it has created in the United States almost over 31,000 fatalities in the United States alone and growing. In the rest of the world, more than that. And what you have is China's culpability. The question is going to be, how do we respond to it as a country? So the president's being very deliberate with what he's saying. You're seeing that. You're hearing that. They are our largest trading partner, so we've got to be very concerned about that. But at the same time, and I want to be clear on this, what the Chinese have done here, the government or the government cover-up, whatever it might be, is inexcusable. It is a violation of international law. It is a violation of basic human rights and human dignity. And I'd like to know where the United Nations is on this. I'd like to know where the World Health Organization actually is on this, since they've covered for China. Now, we can get involved in that at the ACLJ, and we will. We'll find out what the UN can do about this, what the World Health Organization knew about this. And the president was very wise in cutting off those funds. But, folks, that's exactly why supporting the ACLJ is so important. I'm going to let Jordan explain to you about our matching challenge, but it's a really important time to stand, if you're able, to stand with the ACLJ.
Remember, second half hour coming up. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This is a critical time for the ACLJ, as it is for a lot of organizations. But we are working so hard. Not only do we bring you this broadcast every day, and your donations make that possible. However you're watching it or listening to it, your donations make that possible. But also, those 117 churches we assisted with this so far, your donations make that possible. Donate online at aclj.org during our matching challenge month of April, and you double the impact of your donation. aclj.org. We're really encouraging online donations this month. aclj.org. We'll be right back, second half hour.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour. We appreciate you joining us. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we have focused in on this really kind of breaking news that it's being discussed so openly, Dad, and that is that China's role, not only in that a lab was working on a virus and creating a new virus, but in potentially, which on its face, again, raises a lot of concerns because China doesn't allow the same kind of review like Dan was talking about that other countries do when they're doing this kind of very dangerous research, which we want the world to do so that we can create vaccines for potential new viruses that could come. Like, I know there was one in Israel being worked on, something similar that was in chickens, but not humans. But they were trying, and they are still trying to rapidly take that vaccine for that and then turn it into one that could be used on humans. And they're still working on that. And but that's the way you do it, in the safe way. China does things dangerously, recklessly, and maybe here intentionally released a virus on their own people, which is bad enough, but a virus that then spread around the world causing a pandemic.
Well, they were reckless, they were wanton, they were negligent at best, devious at worst, intentional at worst. Hopefully that's not the case, but the fact that they were this negligent points to the fact and points to the problem. But as I said, here's the balance. We have a situation now with China. They are our largest trading partner, and they control a lot of U.S. debt. They own a lot of U.S. debt. Sanctions would be appropriate, but when people say, can we just cut them off? Can we just tell the Chinese government we're not going to deal with you anymore, period, as if you don't exist? That's not reality. But what is also not reality is 31,002 deaths in the United States. I say it's not reality, but because by the time this broadcast is done, it's going to be more than that. So that 31,000 is going to change by the time you're hearing this later in the day or tomorrow morning, or if you hear us tonight, it's going to change. So there are 139,000 deaths worldwide so far because of this COVID-19. It appears the Chinese are completely culpable and responsible. The question is, legally, politically, economically, what can we do? And also, what is the temperature of the Senate and House on something like this, than when Senator Kahn's been very outspoken, but what about others?
Yeah, plenty of others are lagging behind, Jay. They need to catch up with where Senator Cotton is. And I would just say very clearly to the rest of the world needs to partner with the United States in this. I mean, I read this earlier, but I think it's so important, Jay. These remarks from Secretary Pompeo were not accidental. He said many countries have programs like this. In countries that are open and transparent, they have the ability to control them and keep them safe. And they allow outside observers in to make sure all processes and procedures are right. I only wish that had happened in this place. With that it being the context, Jay and Jordan, where in the world is the World Health Organization? To me, that is the context that made it most appropriate for President Trump to say, we're suspending that $550 million that we're sending to. Because if you can't speak forcefully in a situation like this, where a major country, we're not talking about a small country, where a major country of the world behaved this irresponsibly, well, then we are not going to send you $550 million. Jay, you're right. The temperature in the House and Senate needs to increase on this, but I would tell you the temperature all around the world needs to increase on this, and China needs to answer those questions.
All right, folks, as we go into this next break, we encourage you, keep calling 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's so much going on at the ACLJ. Not only is my dad participating in one of those phone oral arguments in his role as a counsel to the president, but we also are involved in the cases like Little Sisters of the Poor, which was also one of the cases chosen to be done by phone. This is the first time ever, by the way. Oral argument. 9 justices, and you've got attorneys, so up to 4 attorneys in one case in 1 hour, all by phone. Support the work of the ACLJ. We are working hard. We're bringing you the news every day. ACLJ.org, double the impact of your donation.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're talking about this breaking news reported by FoxNews.com that the U.S. intelligence investigators are increasingly of the belief, and I think the evidence has quite frankly been pointing to this for a long time, that the coronavirus did indeed originate inside that Wuhan lab. Some of the question now is whether or not it was deliberately released, as Jordan has discussed, or maybe there was gross negligence and it escaped from the lab. I think that's really the crux of the debate right now. But I can't help but thinking back to a couple of months ago, even when Senator Cotton, who was privy to these intelligence briefings, started to tell us that this was indeed going to be the case in the end. And now, indeed, that is coming out. We want to go right to the phones in this segment of the broadcast to get you into the conversation. I think some of you have been feeling this way for a long time as well. And I'm guessing that maybe Pat from Florida on line 2 is one of them. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Dan. Thank you very much for taking my call, and thank you for everything you guys do. I guess it's a question comment. Aren't we all being a little naive to assume that this is anything but a bioweapon? It was created in a lab by a man, and then it was released with an intent to cause a problem, which therefore, in my mind, makes it a bioweapon.
So Jordan had an interesting analysis on this, and I think it's correct here. It either is a bioweapon, or it was bioterrorism because of their own negligence. Now, it would be gross negligence, to say the least, but we don't have all the facts yet. Indications, and that's why I say indications right now, are that, in fact, the Chinese government, or the creators of this, and with China, the government's involved in everything, so it's not like there's one part and not another. Unfortunately, for the world, their negligence, if that's what it is, or gross negligence, or their intentional actions, have unleashed 138,000 deaths across the United States, across the world, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so at a minimum, what they have done is grossly negligent. And under law, that's criminal. That is a criminal action. And so under international law, that would be a crime committed against, one, their own people because of the fact that they allowed this to recklessly, if we want to give them the benefit of the doubt there, on one side of this coin, one option, recklessly enter the public, thus infecting the public with this virus when there was not a vaccine, leading to people dying, and numbers that no one believes coming out of China, because no one ever believes any of the numbers coming out of China. But then second, and I think what's important, is that that's like a best case scenario right now. Worst case scenario is that they intentionally sent one of those lab technicians who was infected down into a busy market in Wuhan and then started to spread the virus, knowing that that virus had the potential to spread around the world and that the Chinese ultimately could not contain it inside China, that's impossible in the global world that we lived in, or I say lived in because now we don't have travel because of them. I mean, a lot of this you can blame on the Chinese and the Chinese lab. The reason why you're at home right now and not at work, the reason why you may have lost your job is to be blamed on what China has done. Either way, in either scenario, whether it was intentional or grossly negligent, which is also criminal, and both should require a direct U.S. response. I think right now, America and our government is focused on helping our people getting the vaccine. Long term, we're going to have to deal with China on this.
I would actually take it up a step further and say it's going to require a global response. And that is, this has been unleashed on the entire world. And Than, you are our ACLJ, or really ECLJ, our European Center for Law and Justice, a designatee to the United Nations. They have been stone quiet. I mean, they have said nothing. The World Health Organization is finding themselves in the middle of a controversy. The controversy was there, in fact, a cover-up? So what do you think happens at the UN, or what can we do at the UN to get them engaged in this? This is a global response has to happen here to China.
Yeah, it's got to be global. And Jay, I think it's got to start with a global recognition that whether it was an intentional release or an accidental one, really the response is the same. And I mean, in some ways, while Jordan's correct that it would be worse if it was intentional, it's almost a distinction without a meaningful difference, because the question needs to be what needs to be done now. And really, not just the United States levying sanctions, the world needs to come together as one and respond aggressively to China, because if they don't, Jay, this will repeat. I mean, the hubris of the Chinese government and the Chinese regime has been well documented, and if they do not pay a price, they will not change their actions. There's got to be more transparency inside of these labs, but mainly there has to be an economic response, because like Jordan mentioned earlier, that is what the Chinese understand. And Jordan, Jay, you ask about the United Nations. I have not heard a single positive, forward-looking movement of inertia out of them. I think the United States, and specifically President Trump, is right to start pushing that envelope by defunding the World Health Organization. I think that was the right first move, but 100%. Jay, I think there's a lot more that needs to come.
100%. And this, the UN silence is deafening. The World Health Organization are, you know, basically didn't even, CNN called it a pandemic and the White House called it a pandemic before the World Health Organization did, which tells you about them. Let's go ahead and take another call, Jordan.
Yeah, Robert called in from Texas on line 5. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to talk about one of the things about the Paycheck Protection Plan. For self-employed people like myself, I do not have W-2s. I do not have employees. So in order to qualify, they have to go off of my Schedule C. They go off of line 31, which is your net income, but that's after expenses and deductions, which does not accurately reflect what my true paycheck is to myself. So basically, the way they've got it set up, I only get about a third eligibility for paycheck protection, but it doesn't really protect my pay.
Let me ask you this, Robert. Have you applied for it?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been approved for that amount already?
No. Approval has not occurred yet.
Yeah, that's it seems to be an ongoing issue right now. So hopefully with the additional revenue. So look, I mean, remember, the idea of the PPP was to protect payroll, to protect personnel. I keep saying your situation is a little bit different because you're primarily dealing with independent contractors. They will qualify for unemployment insurance. They can qualify for various government benefits here in this situation. But this is not a we want to keep – this is not a general funding of all operations. This is really targeted to maintaining payroll. And I say that as a CEO because that's what we're having to deal with right now. You work really hard. We had a huge meeting yesterday here at the ACLJ to do the right things to keep your people employed. That is what the PPP was designed to do, Than. And there's been obviously some fund issues because it's out of money. So we got to get the Senate back in there because Robert's call, even for the third that he would qualify for, I mean, I know so far very few people that I know are actually getting the funds in time because of there was so much request put in that this moved very quickly. Really quick.
Yeah, and I think Robert's point is well made, Jay, because, I mean, like you said, this was never intended to cover every complication that a small business would have. It was mainly intended to target keeping payroll online. And the calculation that Robert's talking about, basically you have to calculate your monthly payroll, and then you're eligible for up to 2.5 times that amount. And the intention, Jay, is that would cover 8 weeks of payroll and then some overhead, maybe not all overhead. And there was also a $10 million maximum. But look, here's the bottom line. Small businesses have tapped into it to the extent that $250 billion is now exhausted and there are no more applications being taken. I'm sorry, $350 billion. The additional request is for $250 billion, and it should have been done last week. It could have been done last week if it weren't for Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi blocking it. I hope that they've had a change of mind and come 3 o'clock, the Senate will pass it by unanimous consent. But Jay, if I were forecasting, I think they're dug in on this. I think they're going to continue to delay and try to get more special funding for pet projects out of this.
Yeah. Jordan, we're going to have to be very vigilant on this because you know what's coming with the House Democrats on this.
Oh, absolutely. This is when our legislative team working with attorneys, our Capitol Hill team led by Than, and really our attorneys weighing in across the country looking on specific issues, that's when we have to go through line by line because it's one thing what the Senate is able to agree on. And still you need to look through that. And that's the Republican-led Senate. But the House especially, what they may try to add on and then get back to the Senate and try to sneak in under various forms of language. So we're going to – again, there will be compromise, but there should not be compromise on – by funding to Planned Parenthood. There should not be compromised. Really, everything in this should be about COVID-19 and economic relief related to COVID-19 and the coronavirus and the stay-at-home orders and the closed businesses and the employee payment protection programs and things like that. That's what it should be related to. Anything else should be cut out. Anything else should be cut out. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge at aclj.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's aclj.org. Keeps this broadcast on the air, keeps our lawyers working. aclj.org.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to get right to your phone calls in this segment of the broadcast. Try to take as many as we can. Let's start on line three with Anna calling in from Maryland. Anna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for everything you do. My question is about Social Security recipients who file tax but don't pay any additional taxes. That can you confirm that if you get a direct deposit normally that the $1,200 payment goes directly as your Social Security payment would, or do you need to file?
No, if you're doing direct deposit and you have filed a tax return, our people are already getting it. I've been notified by a bunch of folks that say they are starting to receive it this week. They've been receiving it this week. So it should go directly and into your direct deposit as your Social Security check does. So you shouldn't be any problem there.
All right. I hope that answers your question, Anna. And I think that that's good to point out for everybody that if you're on Social Security and you've already got it set up as direct deposit, that's how it'll be deposited, that stimulus for you personally, and start checking your accounts this week. Because, Dad, the federal government announced that those checks would be direct deposit checks would be going this week, and the checks would be starting to be mailed out this week, which means if your check was mailed out, it'd probably be next week. But keep an eye. I've even seen the local news reporting. Keep an eye on your mailbox. Make sure you know everybody else has heard this news too, including those with bad intentions. So if you're getting it by actual snail mail by the post office, make sure to check your mail every day. You probably know around what time it comes because there are those who are out there who know these checks are going out as well.
Yep. Let me add something here unrelated to that topic, but going back to the situation with China. I just got an email from a very good friend of ours, a very good lawyer in Washington, D.C., someone we've worked with, who pointed out to me that on January 15th, in the trade deal with China, okay, so when we actually signed the deal, this would have been January 15th, that there was an Article 7.6 of that agreement under miscellaneous, says two things. One, the parties affirm their existing rights and obligations with respect to each under the World Trade Organization agreement and other agreements to which the parties are a party. That's normal. But this was also inserted, which he said is unusual. This is number two. In the event that a natural disaster or other unforeseeable event outside the control of the parties delays a party from timely complying with this obligations under this agreement, the parties shall consult with each other. Remember, there was supposed to be a $250 billion purchase by the Chinese government of American products. Will they now use Article 7, Section 2, to void that out? I think the president was concerned about it. He alluded to concerns that he had. But this was negotiated in the agreement, and the agreement is dated January 15th of this year. Coincidence? Maybe, except I don't believe in coincidences. Back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Leonard in Washington State on line one. Leonard, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I've got a question regarding the China mess. One question I have is, did China really cover this up? And did they really make doctors disappear thought they wouldn't ask questions about what's going on, because apparently it's going to be found out that basically this was a clear cover-up somewhere. And if that's the case, can they also be prosecuted for genocide?
Well, on the genocide issue, let me just address the genocide. That is a high standard under international obligations. To reach a genocide level would be high, but we don't have any of that. We don't have enough evidence for that yesterday. But there, I do think that these are the kind of issues people are going to be asking. Jordan, go ahead.
Yes, exactly. As this develops, as this is right now, the theory is this. This is what we know. Our intelligence community knows that this was being developed in a Wuhan lab. The question is, was it extreme recklessness, or was it being developed so that China could put on some world display that they could create a virus, let it out into China, and then control it in a way that the U.S. would not be able to in the similar situation? So was there intent to actually have this spread in China? And was there then the second question, because any scientist would understand, dealing with this kind of virus, that that would spread around the world? So did you do that with the intent to spread it around the world as well? So is it extreme recklessness, which is still, again, a criminal act under international law, and if it goes to that next level, Dad, where it was intentionally done, I mean, it's almost like an act of war.
Well, that's when you get to genocide, when it's things like that. So we don't have evidence. I don't want to go there yet, but all of this has to be looked at. And I will tell you this, our international law department at the ACLJ is looking at every angle on this. Every angle.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. This final call of the day, 1-800-684-3110. James called it. Virginia on line 2. James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Bless you for all you do. Question about the James. Economic effects and holding China responsible. You know, we have a 20-couple trillion-dollar debt. A lot of it's to China. Couldn't we default on part of that and as compensation if they're not willing to own up to it
I've actually, James, thought about that. I mean, if the evidence mounts as to what happened here, and they own this $22 trillion worth of debt, and I think that's the figure. I'm not 100% sure, but it's close to that. Do we say, as the United States, you have forfeited that, or we consider that liquidated damages for the havoc you've caused on the world, and especially the United States? Now, I haven't looked at the legal issues on that, but I've thought about that. They controlled, true, but if they've unleashed this, and they either did it intentionally or through negligence, we use this to reduce the indebtedness to China. I have not talked to anybody about that. I have thought about it, though, and I think it's worthy of pursuing.
You know, folks, what is important to know here, too, as well, and I want to go to Than on this. Than, right now, where the American people are still focused, and I know a lot of our listeners around the country, around the world, however they're listening or watching this broadcast right now, they still want to know, just a final kind of update, is there going to be movement in Congress today and even tomorrow or over the weekend to get more funds into the stimulus program?
The opportunity will be at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the United States Senate, where all indications are that Leader McConnell will again ask for unanimous consent to add that $250 billion to the small business lending program, Jordan. At this point, there is an expectation that Democrats would object. If they were able to pass it by unanimous consent, the opportunity in the House of Representatives would be tomorrow, when they are planning to be in session, would have an opportunity to pass it. But Jordan, as of this moment, as I speak to you, there is no deal, and it's because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are blocking it.
Think about that, folks. Democrats, big government, big spending Democrats, are the ones blocking the money from hardworking Americans so that they can stay on the payrolls of the companies they work for. And they're celebrating victories like that. Nancy Pelosi was celebrating victories like that. That's how out of touch they are. And tomorrow on the broadcast, we didn't get to it today, 13 revelations because of newly declassified evidence that show the FBI never had a Russia collusion case to begin with. We'll talk about that on Jay Sekulow Live. Donate online at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.